Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live from Media Row in New Orleans. Super Bowl 59. And right now, we bring to you COSM President and CEO. It is Jeb Terry. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Now, I know we got a lot to get to, but perhaps most importantly, I wanted to know if you saw on Saturday night, Duke basketball absolutely beat the brakes off of North Carolina.
Talk about an icebreaker. Way to hit me. Coach K square in the eyes. Now I'm ready.
We're going to sink or swim
because Coach K's retired.
Here
right?
we go.
The
only chance
yes.
Had.
Yes.
I would say last time I was in the city was when Carolina beat Duke in the Final Four.
So I just want to say
I'd rather that one.
I turned my phone off while that game happened, and I just never turned it back on until the next day. And it was like, oh, you have so many mixes. Yeah. And I was like, nope, just get rid of them all. I don't want to
He's a UNC guy. Is that what you're
saying? I'm a UNC guy. That's you might say that.
Our listeners know he's a Duke guy.
We do have the next UNC Duke game at COSM on March 8th, so we will make sure it is Carolina blue through and through.
Okay.
But if you want to bring that different shade in, we'll make sure to help
no,
you.
No, no. Look, I'm fine with Carolina blue through and through. I mean, your alcohol sales will surely go up because it'll be sadness again when Cooper Flagg is dunking all over you guys.
Cooper Flagg, I got to give him credit. I actually don't even hate the guy. He's actually a hell of a player, man.
Which is, it's really hard to not hate players.
It really is.
I get that. So, obviously, people can tell.
If the Mavericks draft him, they'll trade him to the Lakers.
That is very true.
There's a whole documentary called I Hate Christian Leitner.
There is.
So like this.
That's
I get
exactly
it.
Right.
And I love Christian Leitner, but watching it, I'm like, yeah, I get it.
I do. I do.
All right. So tell us about your North Carolina background, because I feel like maybe kind of we started an inside joke not everybody knows about. Before we get to all the COSM stuff, tell us about your ties, obviously very deep, to North Carolina.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Dallas, so that's home. I got family still living there. But after high school, I got the chance to go play football for the Tar Heels. And loved my experience there and loved Chapel Hill, loved the community, everything about it. Great school. And then after I went and played in the NFL, I actually went back and got my MBA there. So I double-dipped. I am as Carolina blue as it gets.
Right down to the suit, right?
You got a little blue sprinkled in, you know. love the university, love the program, and have a lot of pride in it.
And now all the people in Texas are moving to the Carolina area anyway. So they're all – that's the place to be right now. So
what do you think about the Belichick era at North Carolina?
Chapel Bill. Come on.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard that one yet. But look, when I heard the first rumors before it was announced, I was scratching my head. But then I started thinking about it. And look, now as a former player and huge fan, I couldn't be more excited about it. What him and Lombardi are doing, that approach is what college football is all about now. And when you've got arguably one of the best football minds ever coming and recruiting the best talent at a university like Carolina with the resources now we've allocated, there's nothing but excitement and energy. And the early recruiting trail is starting to show what the potential is. And so we have high expectations. He does as well. The program is feeling good about it.
I got to feel like the energy on that campus, around that building, must be the exact opposite we all felt whenever Luka got traded. Like, it's got to like that extreme of we got this great talent and we're losing this great. Like, it's got to be that intense that you're that happy about it.
You know, look, going from legend to legend, Mack Brown, what he did in his first stint and second stint at the university, Ton of respect for that guy and what he's done. Absolute legend. And then now being able to bring in someone like a Belichick, it's a prove-it moment for our university, to be honest. You know, we now have to prove that we want football to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to see what comes out of it.
Yeah, because, Mike, what's your take on UNC football again when it comes
to... It's a basketball school.
Okay.
He's out on Drake May because he's like, good?
And the delivery,
I saw Mitch... Whatever his last
Trubisky,
name
is. Trubisky. Yeah.
Trubisky.
Yeah, I saw it.
Come on. You know, Trubisky, Sam Howell, Drake May. We had a great run.
Ronald Curry was a good one, too.
Uh-huh. Hey, Ronald Curry had over 8 years in the league.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I played with Ron C. What a dude, man. One of the better athletes I've ever witnessed. But at any rate. By the way, I feel bad for you guys losing Luka.
Hey.
It's the worst.
We're here.
He might be my favorite NBA player. He wears 77. I'm a 77 guy myself.
Yeah.
I think it's the best number in sports.
I wore it. I dislocated my knee when I wore it. So.
Oh, man.
I'll take that back. Went to 71 the next year.
But now he's in L.A. My son's fired up to see him in L.A. So, we'll take it.
So, yeah, so I like you better
than your
son.
The NBA did a good job. They signed a $76 billion contract. Their ratings haven't been well. The Lakers have no future. So they're like, what if we send the biggest international superstar to the Lakers for a very little charge? And so that they can make their $76 billion off this. Because we found out, Bally's, you don't have to pay your contract if you don't want to. You can just go to court in the United States and just say, we don't want to pay it anymore. And the United States says, it's fine, you don't have to pay it anymore.
I'm very fascinated because I got the opportunity to go to COSM, and it's awesome. It's an amazing facility. First off, Grandscape is a great place.
Great place.
Like the place that you landed, and when you're there, you get there early, go walk around. Maybe there's a concert outside. You got Shields across the way if you need to get some stuff. There's so much good stuff around the area.
By the way, shout out to Shields.
Yeah.
What a store that place
yeah,
is.
Yeah, they got everything you need there. Everything you need. Yeah. And so, like, the whole environment of it is fun. But where did you get this concept? Where did it initially come to you and you said, all right, I'm going forward with this thing?
Yeah, it's really a culmination of all the stops I've had in my professional career. Professional football player, then a sports entertainment startup guy. My first real business out of the NFL was a mobile video platform for professional athletes. Then at Fox Sports, doing cross-platform tech and innovation. So
where
all
they
those
picked
things.
Up that app, right?
Yeah, they bought the business and went with a deal. That's what took me to L.A. So learned a lot there and really, really was able to understand the broader sports ecosystem and industry, how it all works and what was happening behind the scenes and the tech. And after I left Fox, was doing a number of different things, but building COSM was just a function of a bunch of partnerships, a bunch of ideas, working with a guy, Steve Wynn, in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
The I, not the Y, to clarify. You know, Steve is my boss, chairman, and a big part of our business. And I was collaborating with him on things and looking at what's next and real estate and all these things. And we started ideating on what COSM could become. And it started with investigating a planetarium company. And then how do we bring in live sports and entertainment and off from there? So the planetarium, we're still the biggest planetarium company in the world.
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah.
That's amazing.
We power over 700 planetariums globally, which is an odd, abstract thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Huh. But you think about it. Remember like when you were first kid, when you first went?
I love the planetarium.
Yeah, I think I went to the Fort Worth one.
Yeah, Fort Worth. We just actually redid that and put our best tech in there as well. So we actually did that dome and all that. So that immersive tech, the same way it takes you to space, now we take you to the sidelines, we put you in O, all the things. And it's leveraging that, and we still invest heavily in that ecosystem and believe in it. And that's part of the origin story. But it's really bringing all these notes together to create what COSM is now.
My wife was just, she was like, there's only two. And we have one.
Yeah.
So is it your roots here that brought it here?
Yeah.
Okay. Because usually it's like, all right, L.A., New York, but DFW, like they hit here because we're a big area.
Look, I have a lot of pride in being a Texan, you know, still wearing my boots. It matters to me. I have family there.
Those are good boots, too.
They're worn
You've been wearing those for a while.
Walk a mile, that's right. But look, growing up in Texas, I happen to live in L.A. now, but, it matters and wanted to make sure we had our first in L.A. and our second in Texas. And look, by the numbers, the market makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? It's a major media market. It's growing like crazy, especially North Dallas,
mm-hmm.
right? And finding these locations, all of it makes sense. And it just it matters to me that we're there. We have fantastic energy around what we're building there.
Yeah, I bet.
And a ton of opportunity. So we're continuing to work at it every day.
Now, some of our people, including our boss from the Fan, were at the Royal Rumble just this past weekend, and you guys also had Grayson Waller, Austin Theory there.
Yeah.
So, like, how do you get those kind of, I don't know, it feels like added value to me. How do you get those partnerships and, like, next level it like
that? Well, have you seen the video from there? Have you looked at it?
Unbelievable.
That was in Cosm, right? So, look, doing
the
heat,
my boss was
going
sending
nuts.
Me, yeah, he was sending me all sorts. Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, our whole business is built on the foundation of partnerships. You can't do this without doing that. Leagues, teams, players, cities, you have to do that. And we're seeing that approach pay dividends with the execution of the experience. Because I don't want fans to come and sit on their hands and just think it's a theater. Right, our technology is amazing, but the hospitality wins. And at the end of the day, the experience we can create, that's what we've seen fans love. And so we do everything we can to make sure we provide that, whether it's bringing in athletes for signings, whether it's bringing in former Cowboys, bringing in wrestlers to help drive that and create fans something net new, a way to celebrate the things they love. That's our focus, and we're seeing it work very, very well. And now our goal is to sustain it, make sure we drive that Cosm-worthy experience for every day part we have, and ensure fans are getting value for their time.
This could be a tough question. Do you have a specific experience thus far that's been your best, whether it's a specific sport or MMA or O? I know there's a lot
Sunday,
of options.
Kevin.
What's that?
It's coming up Sunday, the Super Bowl.
Probably so.
The Super Bowl is going to be insane. Look, I'm a football guy.
That's complete entertainment, though.
I love it.
Music, you got everything.
We got the whole thing. And that's football works great. European global football works amazing. You get Premier League fans out in the early mornings.
Will you call it soccer, though?
Call it soccer, but I'm trying to teach you something.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. I still need you for my O tickets.
That's exactly right. Went to school.
Yeah,
so narrow-minded, all those things. But look, Ultimate Fighting, WWE, every sports worked really, really well. We had the U.S. Open tennis in there when we
really? Owned, oh, I didn't know
really
that.
Cool views. So just alone, guys, we have 7 different leagues represented over the next 7 days.
Wow.
Right? It's amazing how you got all the leagues on board.
NHL, NBA, licensing. NFL, yeah. College, Premier League, EFL, UFC 312, all live.
How difficult was lining all that up?
Yeah, it's. I got chunks of me around the world that I've had to do to get these things done, guys. But to do this business, you got to show up, you got to work the partnership, you got to be respectful, and you have to hold this IP and this relationship as the North Star. I can't mess with their product. I just have to augment it and create value. If you create value for this industry, the industry will lean back in to make sure we're delivering something to the fan. And I think we've done that. That's our aspiration, which is why we continue to see a massive opportunity here. I just don't want 2 Cosms. We want them around the world.
Have you gotten any feedback thus far? They're like, hey, we don't like this part. You augmented it too much.
Look. The fan experience from what fans have come in has been just amazing. Now, we have to be better at how we describe the dome versus the hall, all the various pieces.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to get better at that. We're trying. You know, that's what I want fans to know. It's like, man, we are trying to make sure we are clear in the messaging, all that stuff. So we've received feedback that, I thought I was in the dome, but I bought the hall. And so, look, we're getting better, and I think we're going to try to do more to improve all those things. But we've seen great feedback all the way around, and all the leagues and the partners were kind of like, prove you can do this.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Prove you can do this at scale. Prove you can do it at the quality you say. Because you pitch a good game.
Sure.
But when you come in, is it really land? And that's what we've been able to do this year.
And there's nothing better than knowing. You're like,
oh, yeah. You're like,
yeah, that's it. Yeah. We got the team.
Don't worry about that.
We can do that.
So that was the night that I was going. I mentioned it on the show during the C block. Our fan text went insane. Like every single text was just over the top compliments of, it's awesome. You're going to love it. Make sure you were in the dome. That was one thing.
You
got to
be in the dome. We know.
But everybody that texted in, they were all in favor of this. And then I saw it and I fell in love. So it's the best way to see anything. I mean, if it's whatever y'all have, that's where you should go to see.
Well, look, it's the thing is when you look at the upcoming basketball tournament, right? Imagine an immersive game in the dome and every other game in the hall.
Yeah.
You think about a celebration of the sport. You look in places like Detroit where sports betting is legal. No better place to sweat your bets than in the hall. And so there's a lot of cool things that are coming. We just opened in 5 months ago, right? So the lessons we're learning and all the things, and that's our promise to the fans is, look, we're going to always invest in this experience. This is just literally ground zero. and we aspire and expect to improve every time you come back, and that's what we hope. So the feedback is welcome. We want to know. We want you to be eyes wide open. We want to align with expectations, and we're hopeful that you guys understand that's our promise to the fan.
But also keep going to the planetarium, right?
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt, man. Look, the planetariums are incredible.
Hey, I agree.
First immersive experience ever created. Take you to space.
Yes.
Like, no doubt.
Oh, right? I'm with you.
So, like, look, we think that energy matters. Education does not have to be boring. You know, they call it edutainment now.
Yes.
That's the whole thing.
That's how the kids learn.
That's how the kids learn.
All my kids are learning through edutainment.
Edutainment. Make it fun and engaging.
You just hit the winning key phrase. It's for the kids.
For the kids.
Nobody can argue with
what
that.
About the kids?
Man, thank you very much for
just
jumping
remember,
on.
Okay. If Indiana can make the playoffs in football, so can North Carolina.
There it is.
That is right? A great point.
We can always change.
Who thought SMU was going to be in the playoffs?
That, exactly.
Come on.
Exactly. Not me.
Not me after they're down 20-0 in that game.
That's true. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Terry. Thank you very much
time,
for joining
guys.
Us. Coming up next, we didn't get a chance to hit it there. We will do some My Buddy's an Idiot. Does a friend have a terrible sports or pop culture opinion, or did they still trade Luka? We'll do that next, live from Radio Row in New Orleans on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for My Buddy's an Idiot. We're moving Pac-Man Jones on down to 1:22 p.m. So if you want to catch him, we'll have him on later in the show. Right now, My Buddy's an Idiot.
Hey, and I have a special request.
Stop making the hats like that.
Well, no. I've obviously said I don't think Pac-Man Jones went to one class at West Virginia.
Yeah.
Can you please not bring that up to him? Because I don't want to die today. Like
okay.
Him beat my butt up.
Okay.
So you're upset about the UNC thing, Mike?
No. I'm not upset about it, but I'm like, he played Jeff. I'm okay with Pac-Man. I don't know what's going to happen if you bring up that to him.
He might grab you by the collar.
So that's all I have to say about Pac-Man.
Okay, what do you think about Rangers hats being made with upside down Texas and Rangers?
I think it's stupid.
He was looking
you knew
at
what was
going
to happen at I some know. Point, though. No, you knew break. That was going to happen.
A stupid hat.
What if they tell you they want you to wear it for the broadcast?
I will. And you know what? I'm going to wear it just like this. If you're watching on whatever you're watching on.
Twitch or YouTube.
He's taking off his he's flipping his hat around. He's doing rally cap. He's going rally cap with
he's
the Rangers
wear
upside down Dallas hat.
I'm going to wear it just like this so that you can read what it says the right way. That's how I'm going to wear the hat.
Oh,
if they
man.
Tell me to wear it on the pre and post or during the broadcast,
okay.
That's what I'm going to do, too.
You
Dave
know,
Raymond,
if you just put your headset on top of that, it would probably hold the hat down pretty well.
It might also mess it up. Will Dave Raymond wear it the right way, though? He's going to be like, nah, I'm going
to Yeah,
do
he knows
right.
how
he's
to follow
he's
the rules.
He's a professional. You know,
yeah.
He's a professional.
Didn't work for Mike.
Screw it. Nobody's Mike's listening anyway.
Mike's having a Wednesday already. That was Bob Uecker, yeah. Mike.
Well, it was Harry Doyle.
That's a good point. All right. My buddy's an idiot, and look, I get it. I have already seen the text from the 972. My buddy is a tone-deaf idiot. He started a press conference laughing and smiling hours after trading away a five-time first-team NBA athlete. Corey, I think that's about Nico.
Okay, and right now it feels that way. And we have no clue how this is going to turn out. I don't love the idea of having the, you know, Kyrie, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant team that we're, you know, I don't love that idea because
yeah.
of what it was. There may be other information down the road that changes our mind. Probably not. But right now, yeah, Nico looks like an idiot and he's wearing it. He's been up
yes.
front. And he's like, look, I know, I understand what's happening. Nobody's going to like this, but I'm doing it.
I know everybody is like, fire Nico, at least the stuff I see on social media. And he has done a lot of good things for the Mavericks that we didn't think
prior to
was
this
good.
Trade. We liked. I liked him a lot.
Right. Now I will say this: I still, no matter what, this was a bad trade because there's just no way that was the value of
yeah,
Luka.
I agree.
There's no way that was the value. So that's what makes it a bad trade. If he does get fired quickly or goes back to Nike, then I'm kind of with Gavin Dawson. It almost goes, oh, this was an NBA thing. Where they could get away with this. He goes back to Nike, make sure all of the Nike clients are taken care of. And I would be like, this really stinks that Nico did this for NBA reasons
yeah.
and maybe shoe reasons rather than basketball reasons.
That would be very upsetting. From the 469, my buddy's an idiot. He traded his star player, but at least he didn't use air quotes. Man, that would have been the only worst thing if that presser, if he was like, I know Luka's a star, and he did the air quotes.
Well, because, yeah, he would be wrong. It's superstar.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And then Steven would have been like, good job.
Yeah,
that's
look good here.
How
I
you
like
do
that.
It. From the 224, my buddy Mark Cuban is an idiot because he sold the Mavericks. Look, I didn't think there's any way we would go down this path, but I don't want to change my opinion retroactively. I was glad that Mark Cuban sold the Mavericks, even though there's no way he would have done this.
No, but there's probably, I'd have to remember who was super in charge, but there might not have been a way he did the Kyrie Irving trade. There might not have been a way he did the Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington trade. So there were certain things. I mean, I remember being on the air with you guys, and one of Nico's first move was me saying, no, he didn't. When that you traded Porzingis for Davis Bertans and Spencer Dinwiddie, and that was it. So he does things, and I'm going to tell you, that was not a great trade. I get the Mavericks made the conference final. Dinwiddie had something to do with it. Bertans had nothing to do with it. But he is known to take what you think is a valuable player and trade him for 50% of the value. He's done it multiple times.
Yeah.
And as far as, you know, one of the things, I will give Reggie credit on this too, even though he's sitting over there somewhere else. He did say,
I mean, that's his job.
He did say that at that time, whenever Nico got hired, we were all like, huh? Nike guy? Like, what? He was like, look, he knows players that probably other guys don't think about.
Especially,
you know?
30 to 35 year olds.
Yeah, at this point it looks that way. But he knows guys that other people probably don't think about, and he probably has some ideas on what they are because he was watching them when they were younger and trying to get them in with Nike at the time. So with that, you know, that Rolodex. But I don't know, man. We'll see if it works out for him. It looks like it got attention of for people in the NBA for a little bit.
Now, this one's weird because Pat Hoberg, the yes, I know. The MLB official, he got fired, even though a lot of people thought he was doing a really good job as an official, as an umpire. He got fired because he shared legal sports betting accounts with a friend who then bet on baseball. So, like, the account never bet on baseball, or, like, at least that was the case for a while. Then the account that he shares with a friend started betting on baseball, and he was like, hey, I didn't do that. That was my friend. And MLB is essentially like, yeah, great, but your name is still on the account. And then he also deleted a bunch of messages.
Oh, that's not good that his name is on the account, right?
Because and then he deleted a bunch of messages that they asked for in the investigation, which just inherently makes it look like you've done something wrong.
Because I'm like, if somebody asked me, if let's just say Kevin, you asked me, how can I bet on baseball? I'm going to be honest. I think I'd be like, I don't know, go to DraftKings or FanDuel or fly to Vegas. I don't know. But I guess if it was, and then you did that, and you're like, I don't have a FanDuel account. And I'm like, well, here's my account. I'm not really using
exactly.
it right now. I'm pretty sure that I'm getting banned from baseball.
Because MLB, Rob Manfred even said, there is no evidence, directly or indirectly, that Pat did this. And there's no evidence that he manipulated the outcomes of games in any way. But still, it's the look of, hey, you shared this account.
Hey, my wife was dancing with those two last night.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, we were at the bar. Sorry. Oh. Never mind. Back to you, man.
Okay.
Dancing with who?
There were two.
Yeah, you just
two random
to two
guys.
People.
Two ladies.
If it was Sean Merriman or something, that would make sense. So your wife's dancing with random people last night?
Yeah, the whole place was dancing together. No, it was awesome. She had a great time. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt that. Maybe I'm the idiot for interrupting that.
From the 214. I don't know if this is really him, but let's find out. This is Nico Harrison. My buddy's an idiot because he traded his phone number on public radio for $40 and is still dealing with the repercussions. Man.
Yeah, Cav told me thanks for that. And I was like, look, one last time, brother. Like, that was it. I'll never do it again.
Sorry, Kavanaugh. Oh, man, this is what I need to ask Mike. I probably should have cleared this with you off air.
Okay, no, go ahead. Let's do it.
Am I an idiot for walking up to somebody who was in the same restaurant as us and said and saying, I just want to shake the hand of the man who fired Mike Bassett?
Yeah. It's fine with me. I deserved it.
That's a true story that 100% happened.
Well, not like, yeah. I mean, I said hi to him too. But I'm like, yeah, he had to do his job. That was what I deserved.
Yeah. He said something like, oh, yeah, I bet Mike remembers that. I was like, yeah, I bet he does.
Maybe
too.
He does.
I'm willing to.
Maybe he does.
Now, I didn't think this story would make it in My Buddy's an Idiot, but the more I hear about it, I'm like, what the hell? So Marcus Jordan, the son of Michael Jordan.
Oh, my gosh.
Have you,
he's
like,
going to play on the Lakers this year, too?
Not that I'm aware of.
I don't think after this he's going to be able to.
He was arrested on Monday and charged with driving while under the influence, cocaine possession, and resisting arrest. Officers were at the scene when they say the arrest came after Marcus Jordan's car got stuck on some train tracks. So, like, luckily, nothing else happened from specifically that train aspect. But, like, obviously, he could have been killed. People on, if a train would have come by, could have been killed. And all of that different stuff. And then Jordan fled from a traffic, from the traffic stop to get out of the way. And obviously, he had cocaine and was drunk at the time. So, like,
what city was this in?
Does he live in Chicago? No, it was in Florida. I don't know the city.
I'm guessing because of Michael Jordan's age. Is he like 30 years old? I don't even know how old this is.
I think he's 34.
Okay. I'm just trying to make sense of like where Michael Jordan's maybe kids are like age-wise and how
he's 34, and it probably doesn't help that there's video of him going, I'm Michael Jordan's son.
That's not good.
Yeah. Like, that's the part right there.
Yeah.
Trying to, and maybe it works. Maybe it's worked more times than not.
You know, Chicago, maybe it probably has a better
chance
see of
that.
Working.
Yeah, maybe
I
it's worked plenty
that.
Of times for him, and he was just, then this just happens to be the time it didn't, and there's video of it. This goes back to Eddie Belfour, Reese Witherspoon. We always think the same thing about these people when they're in that situation. And, Kevin, when your brain is in that place, whenever you are in that place under the influence, you're thinking, how do I get out of this the best way I know possible?
We all have challenges. We all have adversity. I do think it has to be tough to be like the son of Michael Jordan or Tom Brady.
That.
I get that. I mean, I guess this is where you give Bronny credit, and I'm sorry, I forget the younger son who's doing good in high school basketball, but you know, it looks like they're living pretty clean lives, and I get they're teenagers, Bron's kids, or LeBron's kids, but I think of just what you have to go through in a way.
No, I get it.
Like, you are considered, it's almost impossible to not be considered a disappointment by public.
Sure. Like, he could have made he could have made it to the NBA and been a one-time All-Star, and people were like, that's what you did, huh? And that's like, that would be incredibly impressive.
Oh, good job.
And people like, I think you could have done better.
Yeah. Yeah. If you'd have worked a little harder whenever we were out in the front yard that day, you know? Now, you remember that time?
Now, I'm going to bring this person up as an idiot, Dennis Schroeder, because there has to be a better way to make this comp, right? Like, I'm not saying it isn't a weird system, and if I just got traded to another place of work and had to just work there because I had signed a contract that did not go to that company, I do think it's a weird system. But Dennis Schroeder once again said about the NBA trade deadline, it's like modern slavery. It's modern slavery at the end of the day. Everyone can decide where you're going, even if you have a contract. Yeah, of course we make a lot of money and we can feed our families. And I'm going to stop him right there.
Yeah.
And that right there is the biggest fundamental difference between all of this. Do I think the way the trade deadline works is very, very strange and oftentimes seems not right? Yes. Yes, I do. But I think there's got to be a better comparison than slavery. And maybe we should tell him a few things about what those people went through.
And I know we're up against it. It feels like the episode in The Office where Michael Scott, they hire somebody who was in prison for a short amount of time. And then the guys start acting like they're in prison at this job.
Yeah.
And then he takes it for real. He's like, look, we get it. We're just making fun. It's not prison. Like, we get to go home, we get to be with our family, like, I get it, it's a tough life. I lived the life, it's a tough life. But it can be very rewarding, and less than 1% of men ever get to live that life.
Surely we can find a better comp.
I would think so, too.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, former Heisman Trophy winner, pickleball champion Danny Warfel, right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan, live on Radio Row in New Orleans. And right now, we bring to you former Heisman Trophy winner, perhaps just as important, pickleball champion maybe not as important. Danny Warfel joins us right here on 105.3 The Fan. How the heck are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Now,
he's the first college quarterback I know, by the
way. Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Well, I didn't.
In your face, Gino Toretta.
Yeah, the first time I started paying attention to college football was you. And so that's my link there is that I didn't pay attention.
Are you honored by that? Or are you like,
should I be honored or concerned?
Yeah. Both. I think concerned, maybe.
Old, maybe.
I see that. I wanted to avoid that because that's what I thought as soon as he said that. He was like, hey, good job. Couldn't you have said he was your favorite
quarterback? I was a teenager at that point, so I was almost in college. So. Okay.
But it felt like the question was, were you the first football player ever? Like the way he phrased it, it kind of felt like that, didn't it?
I felt those vibes.
Okay.
That's what I do.
All right. Do you want to try your pickleball question now?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wants to be friends with you, Corey. Fix it.
My buddy he's winning some pickleball championships in Dallas.
Nice.
And he's like, he threw himself completely into it. We've seen Dirk play, and it looks like it's just an absolute blast. You were a pickleball champion. How did you find it? How did you get into it?
Well, like a lot of people, during COVID, I started playing just for fun. My boys and I were looking for something to do. And I just fell in love with the sport like a lot of people. It's so community friendly. It's also the entry to play anyone, like anyone in this whole place here, no matter how young or old, man or woman, however athletic or not, could go play the sport and have fun. And it's such an intense game that you could have like Djokovic and Federer training their lives to play it at another level. So it's like a video game with 1,000 levels.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, and our co-host Mike Bassick, former pitcher in Major League Baseball, for athletes like you, the competition part of it, it still has to bring you up. Like that's what I've been looking for after the game was over. This helped me.
Yeah, I mean, when you're a competitor, you love to compete. And then, you know, when you get my age, you're kind of like running out of options. So it's like cornhole or pickleball. So, you know, shuffleboard's next. But right now, pickleball, baby.
Corey's surprised you're not playing shuffleboard
now. I didn't know. I'm not.
That's what I learned from that. No, I'm just giving you a hard time. Now, something I kind of wanted to talk to you about was, for the longest time in football, just the general thought has always been turnover battle. Win the turnover battle, you'll win the game. But there's just been a lot of research more and more that, like, hey, turnover battle, hugely important, but it's probably falling second behind how did your quarterback play. Do you agree with that as, like, just having that standout quarterback? I know there's all kinds of advanced stats to go along with that, but having that standout quarterback has maybe kind of surpassed the turnover battle.
Yeah, I think so. I would even add another term, which is related to both of those, is, you know, sort of like the key moments.
Yeah.
Like, not every play is created equal. You know, a second and 10 in the first quarter is not the same as, like that third and 9 in the middle of the fourth quarter. And, yeah, and you never know which of those moments are key. And I think usually that, you know, those hinge around a quarterback, and so it makes sense. They sometimes hinge around turnovers. But, you know, I think part of what makes Mahomes amazing, you know, look at his stats this year aren't as good as maybe some of the other quarterbacks. But in key moments, he's brilliant, and I think that's the difference.
Do you think people have slept on how good Jalen Hurts has been at keeping or taking care of the ball in these key moments, especially in the second half of the season? Because, like, I'm not saying he's Mahomes. Nobody is Mahomes. But I do kind of feel like people sleep on, like, Jalen Hurts has had a heck of a second half of the season.
Yeah, he's phenomenal player, and I think, you know, Coach Napier at Florida talks about what's complementary football. And, you know, when you got a great defense like the Eagles do, when you can run the ball really well, it's, you know, you really do need to minimize those turnovers because they matter. Whereas if you're kicking out a lot of points, scoring all the time, you can maybe mess up here and there and just, like, Spurrier, he didn't mind. As long as you're throwing 3 touchdowns for every interception, he didn't
sure.
care.
That feels like a pretty good exchange rate.
Yeah, I think so.
And let me throw, too. Well, and that Jalen Hurts, the Super Bowl loss a couple of years ago was they had the fumble. Otherwise, other than that, so, like, in his mind, he must be thinking, I got to make sure, because that was the only thing right there. That's the difference in that game.
Yeah.
What's the feel you have on this game?
I mean, I'm probably right in there with everybody. I mean, one, I think it's a great matchup. I think there's a good chance it comes down to sort of like that last, you know, 1 minute. And then anything can happen. Although, if I were betting in the last minute play, I'd have a hard time betting against Patrick Mahomes. But I do think the Eagles have a great chance to win this game. But I think it'll be a great game.
You're a well-traveled man. You've been around a lot of different areas. This city brings me, like, I'm from Dallas, born there, raised there, but I get to travel a little bit, and this city is always fun to me. Why is it so perfect to host a Super Bowl? Like, I've experienced it, but somebody who was here, can you help explain it to everybody at home?
Yeah, for sure. So I lived in New Orleans for several years, played for the Saints, and then lived here after that until Katrina, and started my life's work through Desire Street and the Werfel Foundation out of New Orleans. But it's a unique city. It's not like any other city in America. It's almost like you went to some European city. There's like so much culture, so much history. It's different. You know, you got second line parades breaking out all over anytime. You never know. You've got the Mardi Gras. You've got the incredible food. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, it's like any excuse for a party, you need it. And then you bring a Super Bowl, it's a big excuse for a big party.
Hey, you just mentioned the Desire Street Ministries. You're the director of that, of course. How did that come to be a big part? You said it kind of, you know, launched from here. And then, did you ever get any pushback from, like, the combination of religion and sports? I'm always fascinated by that.
Yeah, so I came here and started volunteering at a small organization called Desire Street on Desire Street in the Ninth Ward.
Oh.
And, you know, that kind of became my life's work. We now work in under-resourced neighborhoods all over the country through Desire Street, headquartered out of Atlanta. You know, I wondered that, too. I always wondered, you know, when I get to college or especially the NFL, you know, if you had your faith and how would that play out? Well, I found it such a fertile ground for people that were exploring, that people that wanted to learn. Every team I was on, we had guys asking questions. There's Bible studies. We did a lot of different things and chapel services. And so I found it to be an actually very welcoming place. And so it was very, very grateful for that.
Yeah, that's part of something my middle school kid is kind of experiencing FCA for the first time.
Yeah.
He's kind of getting that experience and the fellowship that comes along with you build better friendships. You're around people that you get to know them a little more, and you get to grow those friendships of a teammate you may have never talked to. You know, he's on the other side of the ball, you never talked to him, and there you are together. So I think that's a great experience.
I would say, you look at even like the two college teams that were in the national championship game. Both of them had a lot of movement in their faith on the teams and people growing in their faith. And it just makes sense to me because part of faith is life's not just about you and there's a bigger purpose. You put that and a group of men together on a bigger purpose, and it's no surprise that they had phenomenal years.
Do you ever wish that God was actively rooting for more of your teams? Because we always are like, man, come on. And I'm like, you know that that's not how that works, right?
I felt like God was rooting for the Gators when I was there.
Okay.
Sure felt that way.
That's good. Okay. But never against you. Yeah, I just always think, like, do you really think God's like, oh, if Stanford wins this tennis championship, then something bad is going to happen? Like, I'm just fascinated.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we think about it in life. It's like, well, if God's good and he loves us, why is there any bad thing that happens?
Sure.
But, you know, we're never guaranteed that life's not going to be without suffering. In fact, that's part of life.
Yep.
It's built in. I think the difference is, how do you go through it? What do you learn from it? How do you develop compassion and empathy to help someone else going through it? And those things are very much tied to faith.
And kind of giving you the idea of it'll never be more than you can handle. It's something that I've had to remind myself of a couple times when maybe you feel like, I think this is too much. I feel like that's a very universal experience. Now, Huddle for Health, I don't want to get too lost in the weeds and not talk about that as well. What can you tell us about Huddle for Health?
Well, you know, the NFL Alumni Health, they've kicked off this new program, and the folks that are with them have started this. And, you know, it's really kind of bringing better information and services to the sports community. Like, there's so much lack of information and accessibility for different people. A lot of guys don't know what's out there, a lot of kids. So it's sort of using these umbrellas to promote that. And they've partnered with, one thing I've learned in life is it's all about teamwork. And so my foundation, the Werfel Foundation, has partnered with Huddle for Health, and then now IS Nation. And IS Nation has created this incredible platform. It's an app. It's an online community that's growing. And so they're going to be able to put some of the information for Huddle for Health will be accessible to a larger people through the IS Nation app. So these are just different groups that are trying to use sports, use relationship to make the world better. And excited to be here talking about it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love that.
Awesome. Thank you very much for jumping on with us. Thank you for diving into the religious conversation as well. Not everybody is always excited to go in that direction. I think it's a fascinating conversation every single time.
Awesome. Thank you.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Huddle for Health, Danny Warfel, right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with former NFL All-Pro turned MMA promoter Sean Merriman. Plus, maybe we'll rank the Super Bowl starters next right here on The Fan.